Jesus never fails. You can take that to the bank. It's a fact. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Thank you. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Matthew, chapter number 8. We're going to meet up with Jesus and his disciples on a ship in a storm. And God proves himself faithful, and Jesus doesn't fail the disciples. He does a great work in their midst. If you'd look with me in the Bible, Matthew, chapter number 8. Beginning in verse number 23, Matthew 8, verse number 23. The Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey?" I mean, you see the setting here, this passage of Scripture. We met up with Jesus and his disciples, and he has given commandment in verse number 18 to depart to the other side. I believe this to be the Sea of Galilee, about a 13-mile journey on a sea that was notorious for the winds to howl and rip and to get very tempestuous. And we see the disciples in Christ on this ship going to the other side, and they followed the Lord into the sea. And the Bible says there was a great tempest, verse number 24, in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered. There was water on top of the ship, and Jesus was asleep. Now, the disciples, as I would probably be, were afraid. The Bible says in verse number 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And the water had risen to such a level, and they were so afraid that they finally went and woke Jesus up, and with great concern and fear, on this journey, they say, save us. We perish. We perish. I'm reminded of an airplane flight trip I had one time coming home from Peru. And we're on this plane. And, you know, if you're a missions trip, you sit in the back of the plane because that's the cheapest of the tickets. And we're in the back of the plane. If you don't like turbulence, don't ride in the back of the plane, because the back of the plane is where you get the biggest bumps. And I'll never forget, we're on this giant jet flying from Peru into Atlanta, and we're getting close to home, and we get into some turbulence. They had made the announcements that we could expect some rough air, and we buckled up, and we sat there on the plane. As we hit this turbulence, there was a young girl, probably 10 or 11 years old, just across the plane from me, and she started getting scared. We hit a bump. And out of nowhere, a blood-curdling scream. She screamed at the top of her lungs. She says, "We're going to die. We're going to die." And she'd catch breath, and she'd scream again, "I don't want to die." And her mom would settle her down for just a minute, and 30 or 40 seconds would pass. About the time everything got quiet on the plane again, at the top of her lungs, she'd scream out, "We're going to die." If you were scared of flying anyway, this girl didn't help you at all. As you can tell, the plane landed safely, and we survived. And her fear and worry was unwarranted. It was not necessary. And we meet up with the disciples, and that really they come to Christ. They're like, "We're going to die. I don't want to die. We perish," is what the Bible says. And when they wake Christ up, he does something very interesting. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. I'm sorry, verse 26. He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Now, this is fascinating to me. The Bible says that the boat is covered in water. In the book of Mark, Mark depicts it this way, as the boat was full of water. And Jesus, they have to wake him up. And when he wakes him up, the sea is crazy. The winds are blowing. The storm's terrible. Everybody's scared to death. And Jesus wakes up, and the first thing he says is not "peace be still" or "rebukes the wind." The first thing he says, he looks at his disciples and he says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And I'm thinking, well, look around. There's a great lesson to be learned here in this passage of Scripture. Today's message is titled this, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? I want to tell you something about Jesus and questions. Don't ever look at a question that Jesus asks in the Bible and say, "I wonder why he didn't know the answer." He never asked a question he didn't know the answer, but he often used questions as opportunities to teach us and to give us instruction. And when Jesus asks this question, he makes a direct connection between two very important things. Number one is fear. The second thing he connects to fear is faith. He says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Jesus just point blank right out of the gate says, "Hey, you're fearful because you don't have faith. You deal with this fear because you're not aware of the fact that I'm in control. You're not aware of whose presence you're in. You're not aware of my purpose and my plan." He looks at his disciples while the waves and the storm is still rolling, and he says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" You see, Jesus wanted these disciples to know some things about fear, some things about faith, some things about him. Great faith is evidenced by peace and rest. Great faith is evidenced by calm in the storm. Great faith is being able to deal with life, knowing that God is in control. And you can rest in the most difficult of circumstances. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why did Jesus ask this question? Because he wanted to teach his disciples some very important truths about faith and fear and trusting him. In this passage, we find truths designed to strengthen your faith and abolish your fear. How many of you are like me and you'd say, "I would like some help with some of the fears that I have in this life and in this world"? Would you say amen, nod your head, something? How many of you are like me and you say, "I want to have great faith that rests in the Lord"? If you're like me, you can nod your head, say amen, moan or groan or whatever. When Jesus asked his disciples this question, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" He asked this question, and God has preserved in his inerrant, infallible word this passage so that you and I can learn some valuable truth about fear and faith. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Why don't you consider with me this first thing as we consider and we're learning how to have faith in God and have our faith increase. This first thing I'd like to mention is this. Have faith, number one, in the presence of God. Have faith in the presence of God. We come to this passage, we come to this story, and the first thing the Bible says in verse number 23 is this, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now, it's very important we think about this at the very beginning, of what's going to happen. Do you think that this storm took Jesus by surprise? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, it was part of God's plan. Now, folks, I want you to know something. God doesn't punish us like that with troubles. But there are troubles allowed and difficulties that are allowed by God in our lives to help us learn. How many of you have ever learned lessons when everything was going just perfect? How many of you have learned lessons when everything just seemed to be going your way? You can, but it's unlikely. As a matter of fact, what I've found is when people have a pocket full of money and a good measure of health, they tend to forget God and they leave God out of their lives. I'm guilty. I'll tell you what, my prayer life increases and improves when I'm in the fire. And I'm learning that when I'm in the fire and when I'm having trouble and difficulty and my heart's burdened and often overwhelmed, that I should thank God for the times that drive me to my knees. Now, the truth of the matter is, Jesus was not taken by surprise by this storm. As a matter of fact, the Bible says right here in verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Guess what Jesus did? Jesus led them into the ship that would soon be in the storm. And you can trust God in the midst of the storms. Our lives are full of storms, are they not? Some folks just yearn for a time when life is normal. How many of you ever said, I just wish things could be normal? If you're having fights and you're struggling and you got a cold and things aren't going your way and life is difficult, guess what? You have exactly what you've been asking for, normal. Normal's rough, folks. But the good news is we don't have to deal with normal alone. You see, not only did Jesus lead them into the ship that would soon be led into the storm, but Jesus got on the ship with them. Folks, we need to learn to have confidence and faith in the presence of God. Have faith in the presence of God. I'm just so encouraged by this. Jesus entered into the ship. His disciples followed him. And something I've been thinking about, and something that encourages me very much, and it's proven through Scripture. Do you know what? As the disciples were up and awake, wringing their hands, worried about the storm, paling water out of the ship, scared to death, finally they go wake Jesus up. Hey, we're going to perish. We're about to die. Help us. I want you to know something. Every wave that the disciples experienced, every time it went up and down, every time it was crashed to and fro, I see my Savior laying there asleep, and every bump he experienced, every move he experienced, every up, every down, he felt it all. He was there. He was present. And the Bible says that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and the burdens that you bear. They mean something to him. They matter to him. He experiences them with you, and he allows trouble and issues and difficulties in our lives. And he goes with us through them so that we can learn, we can trust him. So that we can have a greater depth in our life. You see, we need to have faith in the presence of God. Every wave that hit that boat, Jesus felt it. Every burden that his disciples bore, Jesus bore it. God was faithful. Have faith in the presence of God. Folks, I want you to know something. I know the storm is real. The Bible says in our text, it was in verse 24, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. I know it's difficult. And I know life has some major burdens. And I've not been everywhere you have, and you've not been everywhere I have. But I want you to know something. God has been everywhere you have, and he is concerned, and he's touched, and he's working, and he's moving, and he has a plan. And we as God's people, saved by grace, must learn to rest in the love and compassion of our Savior, the perfect understanding that he has, and know that God is with us. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, a verse that helps me, I quote it often. The Bible says, fear thou not. When I hear that, you know what I say? Why? How? The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Amen. Folks, I want you to know something. We can have faith in the presence of God. Have faith in the presence of God. You're not dealing with something that God's not aware of. You're not facing something that God is not bigger than. He's not promised to take away your storms, but he's always promised to go with you through them and help you through them. Have faith in the presence of God, number one. Number two, have faith in the power of God. Have faith in the power of God. The Bible says in verse 24, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Have faith in the power of God. The storm was real. You know, some folks have this idea that God just kind of snubs his nose at our problems and, you know, big deal, suck it up, get over it. The storm is real. The burdens we bear and the loss that we suffer, it's real. The burdens are real. But I want you to know something. God's power is greater than the burdens that we bear. The storm was real. It was a great tempest, the Bible says. But we must have faith in the power of God. God is bigger than our storm. The Bible says again in verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, this is fascinating to me. I believe the Bible to be true. The Bible says that the ship was what by waves? The ship was what? Covered. I won't have you turn there, but if you go to the Mark's record of this same story, the Bible says that the boat was full of water. The last time that I was in a boat full of water was on the Middle Fork, and it was a canoe. I think it's Pete's canoe, actually. I was a teenager. Do you know what happened to my boat when it got full of water? Boop, boop, boop. Right on the bottom. I was scared to death I was going to lose the boat. I lost my fishing stuff. I remember the water was just over my head, and I went in after it. And I have a vivid memory right now of me holding on to the boat underwater, dragging it out. I remember that. What happens when a boat fills up with water? It sinks. Now, folks, I want you to know something. You're facing storms. I know you are. And you're facing difficulties. There's burdens that you bear. And quite frankly, the reality of it is there's enough water in your boat to sink you. There's enough tempest in your life to drown you. Folks, I want you to know something. We serve a God that can float full boats. And we serve a God that can raise out of the depths and defy nature. We serve a God that in spite of your storm, in spite of the depth of the sea and the burden that you bear, He can keep you above the tempest and He can help you through the storm. We must always get our eyes fixed on the fact that we have faith in a powerful God. The Bible continues in verse 24. The ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. It's always fascinated me, and I don't know how it all works together. If my bed got full of water, I think I'd wake up. I don't make any question, I don't doubt it at all. When the Bible says that He was asleep, He was asleep. I'm thinking about the captain of our ship, the captain of our soul being asleep. And as I've studied and prepared for this message, I uncovered a story that was quite interesting to me. It was a story about a man that made a journey on a ship. And on the ship, there was noise and concern, and there was a storm. And someone said, "Where's the captain?" The captain was asleep. Now, the captain wasn't sleeping through his duty. He was a very dutiful, honorable man. But the captain was asleep. The man said, "When I heard that the captain was asleep, then I was able to rest. Because I knew that if the captain is asleep, no matter what I may be feeling, no matter what I may be hearing, no matter what may be concerning me so much, if the captain's asleep, I don't have anything to worry about." The captain was asleep. Jesus was asleep on the boat. And that's a testimony to the fact that we don't have to worry and fret. So many things we wring our hands about, and Jesus is not delinquent. He is asleep because there's no worry and there's no fear. He's got this under control. The captain's asleep. I remember on that airplane when the girl started crying out, "We're going to die." I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't bother me a little bit. I'm really not afraid to fly, but honestly, if a kid starts screaming, I'm thinking, does this girl have some type of premonition that I don't know? Do I need to kiss my wife and say goodbye and preach one final gospel message on this airplane before it comes crashing into the Gulf of Mexico? I'm thinking about it. You know what I did? You know something that gave me comfort? I couldn't see the captain, but I could see somebody that spends a lot of time on an airplane. You know what I did? You've probably done this. As I sat on that airplane, we were tossed about in rough air. The girl screamed in the top of her lungs. Every now and then, I'd just glance over at the stewardess. I'd make sure that she didn't have a look of terror on her face. And I determined if she got a look of terror on her face, then I would get one on mine. But I just kept looking at the stewardess because she knew what happened. She had experience. Folks, I want you to know something. As your storm is raging in your life, have faith in the power of God. Folks, I want you to know something. He is resting in your storm, not because he doesn't care, but because he's got it all under control. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Have faith in the power of God. He was asleep. Look what else as we consider the power of God. This just thrills my soul. The Bible says in verse number 26, he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Let's have confidence and faith in the power of God. I want you to see what the Bible says here so plainly. He arose and rebuked the winds, one, the seas, two. Now, here's some things that worry us. We've caused a great big mess in our lives. It's our fault. We've made the storm. How many of you have ever made your own storm? All God's people said, oh me. We've made the storm. It's the wind on the sea that causes the storm. We've made a big mess with our storm, and we think, well, Lord, if you did stop this storm, I can't help but see that there's going to be lots of trouble and lots of heartache and grief in the future. You see, even if the winds had stopped at that moment, the seas take a long time to settle down. You know what Jesus did? Very specifically, the Bible says it, that he rebuked the winds. He rebuked the cause of the storm, the cause of the trouble, the cause of the grief, and then he rebuked the winds. He rebuked the effect. God is faithful to help you conquer the cause of the trouble and the storm. He is also sufficient and faithful to meet the need and stop the effect. The cause and effect was in the control of God. He rebuked the wind and it stopped. He rebuked the seas. And the Bible says there was a great calm. I don't know about you, but there are seasons in my life that I'm thankful for a great calm. I'm thankful for a great calm. And a great calm, folks, can only come as we put our faith and confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus wanted his disciples to increase in their faith. And the storm was to produce faith. And Jesus is teaching us that we should have faith in the presence of God. Jesus is teaching us that we should have faith in the power of God. And thirdly, Jesus is teaching us that we should have faith in the purpose of God. God has a plan. You see, I don't understand the storms. And some of you have dealt with things this year and in this decade that I cannot even begin to imagine why. But I will not ever question who. God has a purpose. God has a plan. His plan is bigger than us. His plan is bigger than our devices and the things we could dream up. His purposes for our lives are perfect and right and pure. Oh, please do not doubt the wisdom of God. Please do not doubt the love of God. And may God help us to see his purpose in the storm. You see, have faith in the purpose of God. What did God want these men to do? First of all, he wanted these men to have confidence in his word. Let me see with me in verse number 18. The Bible says in verse number 18, now that's previous to this story. It makes the setting. Now, there's a great group of people, a great multitude, verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart on the other side. Now, what did Jesus say? This great multitude of people are coming. He said, we're going to the other side. He said, we're going to get in a boat. We're going to go to the other side. The word of Jesus was, go, we're going to the other side. A few verses tell us about a miracle and some work that Jesus did. And then after he said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, the Bible says in verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now, what was the word of Jesus? He says he gives commandment to go to the other side. What was the word of God? We're going to the other side. If God's word says we're going to the other side, if you're in the boat and it's rocking and reeling and things are difficult, do you have to fear making it to the other side? The answer is no, because God's word says we're going to the other side. Folks, I want you to know something. You can rest in the authority of the word of God. The Bible says, I've not seen my seed begging bread. The Bible teaches us that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. God's made it clear that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. God's made it clear that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if God's word says it, it doesn't matter how deep the waves are and how bad the storm gets, God is going to keep his word. God's purpose in the storm was for his disciples to see that the word of God would stand and be right. God's purpose in the storm is to teach us to rest in the storm. I told you as we began, it was fascinating to me how Jesus did this. The disciples come to him. He's asleep in the ship. The waves are tossing. The ship is full of water. And Jesus wakes up when they cry out, "We perish." Jesus wakes up and looks at him. He says, the title of our message that I can't remember right now. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? What did Jesus do? Jump up and say, I'll save the day. No. He looks at his disciples. He says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He says, you don't have anything to fear. Folks, I want you to know something. We need to learn from God that he can calm us in the midst of the storm, and we do not have to have everything peaceful in order to have rest. What did Jesus do? He calmed the disciples in the sea before he calmed the sea. And if you're waiting for that perfect moment in your life when everything has lined up and everything's going just right before you can be happy, you will never be happy. Because that moment will not come. There's always the fear of cancer, of disaster. There's always the fear of the burdens of life. There's always things that are up and down and off and down and down. But I want you to know, what does God do? Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? I want you to know, no matter how deep the storm or trouble, God will help you, and he'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. The song goes, there's peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor, there's a refuge, there's a hope. It's in Jesus. What does Jesus want us to do? Have faith in his purpose. Have faith in his purpose. He calmed the storm. He calmed the disciples in the storm. And then he calmed the storm. What's God's purpose? What the Bible says in verse 27, the last verse of this passage. What's God's purpose? After the great calm, is God's purpose great calm on the sea? No. God's purpose is not to settle everything, not to make everything hunky-dory perfect. But God's purpose is what we find in verse 27. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? What's God's purpose? He wants men and women, boys and girls, just like you and I, to say, oh, what a Savior. Amen. And he wants us to get up in light of the fact that life has its difficulties and say, God is faithful. He wants us to know that God will not forsake me. He wants us to be reminded that God can do extraordinary things and God will strengthen our faith. And folks, I'll have you know something. The roughest of days, the most difficult of times, can be faced with a heart full of peace when you've put your confidence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey? Oh, it's wonderful. You see, why? Why is it that you are so fearful? Why is it? It's because we are of little faith. And the more we look and see who God is, the more faith and confidence we can have in Him through life's storm. I heard one other shipping story. You can't help but uncover a shipping story when you're talking about a storm, right? The story goes like this. The wife of the ship's captain had made the journey with him. And a great storm arose, and the ship, of course, was tossed to and fro. That's how you say it every time, right? The ship was tossing about, and the storm was bad, and things were difficult. The wife of the captain went where he was manning the helm. As she looked at her husband, he had great calm. She was about to die inside, but he had great calm. She looked at her husband and said, "How is it that I'm so scared and you're so calm?" Without saying a word, he took his sword. It was razor sharp. He took his sword and he sat the sword on his wife's shoulder, the blade. He looked at her and said, "Are you scared?" She said, "Well, no." She said, "Well," he said, "Well, I could take this sword and I could end your life in just a moment. Why are you not scared?" And she said, "Well, the sword is in the hand of my loving husband. I have nothing to fear." He put his sword back and looked at her and said, "This storm is in the hand of my loving Savior, and I have nothing to fear." Isn't it wonderful, folks? I want you to know that I understand and our storms are real. But I want you to know that our real God is bigger than our real storm. And the storm of our life is safely in the care and keeping of our loving God. And we can rest in Him. Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Have faith in the power of God. Have faith in the presence of God. Have faith in the purpose of God. And God will help your fears to go away. Let's pray.